Okay, 172 on the bottom, 94 on the top. That Rebbe is explaining why the revelation of Mashiach is dependent on what we do in the time of Golos. And he elaborated, when we take the physical object, I'm not going into the whole thing again, we take the physical object of Klipas Noigam, and you elevate it to Kedusha by doing a mitzvah with it, so you're actually bringing the physical object, you're making the physical world closer to Hashem. By pushing away evil, then you're weakening evil, so therefore again, by keeping the negative commandments, we're pushing away evil, so therefore evil gets no strength, because evil is only fed and nourished through our doing evil. If we don't do evil, evil automatically weakens by itself. So then the world becomes, the evil becomes weakened, the physical world becomes elevated to holiness, and therefore that's the revelation of Mashiach. And then he continued, what the last thing we're learning is that when a Jew does a mitzvah, not only is the physical object that you're doing the mitzvah with elevated, it becomes holy, but your animal soul becomes holy, your physical body becomes holy, and therefore all of that is also elevated to holiness in a way that the whole klipas noiga of the whole world becomes elevated. Okay? Okay, let's start again, 94 on the top, 2, 4, 6, 7 lines on the top. By a day down by a person doing a mitzvah, Tisala gamkin klolos klipas nega, the whole neutral level of evil, meaning the permissible objects that the Torah permits us to use, becomes elevated, which is klolos achayi sha'olam azeh agashi v'achumri, which is the general life of everything which is physical. Physical, again, we learned already, if it's not holy, it's evil. If it's permissible evil, it's called klipas nega. That is the general life of the world, comes from klipas nega, this neutral level of evil. And therefore, when a person elevates it, like for instance, when you eat an apple with the bracha for the right purposes, not only do you elevate this particular apple, you elevate all apples in the world, and all of klipas nega in the world. And he says like this, why? Kasher kol ha-neshama v'nefesh ulikis, every soul and godly soul. Shebechol nefesh Yisrael, which is in every Jew, hamischalekes beprotis, which divides itself up into details, l'shishim riboy, to 600,000, tekayim kol nefesh protis, when every single soul keeps kol tayag mitzvah satayra, all 613 mitzvahs of the Torah, shasa leisas, of the 365 negative commandments, lahafir shasa gidim shodam nefesh achiyun shebeguf, to refine and separate that the 365 veins of the person become refined, so to speak, with pure blood, holy blood rather than evil blood, shalei yinoku v'yikablo chayes b'aveda zu, that it shouldn't get nourishment from this sin, from achas mishol shtipsa tmeis legamri, from one of the complete levels of evil. Shemehem nishpoim, I have to read this and explain it. Shasa leisas edereis vanfeim, their biblical mitzvahs and their rabbinic mitzvahs. See, he says like this. There are 600,000 neshamas that Alter Rebbe is going to explain in a second how this gets to the neshama. The Rambam writes in his introduction to the Rambam, say for a mitzvah also, the Rambam writes that there's 248 positive mitzvahs corresponding with the 248 limbs of a person. Of a man, by the way. Women have 252. A man has 248 limbs. There's 365 negative commandments, the Rambam says, correspond with the 365 days of the solar calendar. The Rambam says, what does it mean? That every limb of the body, all 248 limbs, say, do a mitzvah with me. And the 365 negative commandments, meaning every day of the year says, don't sin on me. Don't sin on my day. That's what the Rambam says. In Kabbalah it says that the 365 negative commandments correspond with the 365 veins that are in the body. The veins is what carries the blood, which is the life of the person. Kenefesh habasar badami. The flesh, the soul of a person is in the blood. The blood is the lifeline of the person. What he's saying over here, that when a person transgresses one of the 365 negative commandments, they're actually causing, spiritually, that their blood becomes tainted. It becomes living now from the negativity of the negative commandment that the Torah said don't do. In other words, we've learned in many different classes, why did Hashem give us 248 mitzvahs? Give us 10 and finished. If Hashem wants us to connect themselves to Him, give us 10 mitzvahs and finish 10 commandments and that's it. Why did Hashem give us 248 mitzvahs? So it says, because each mitzvah corresponds with a different limb of the person. And there's 248 different revelations of God that are only accomplished through this particular mitzvah in this particular limb. So if a person wants to be completely connected to Hashem, you need all 248 mitzvahs to be able to connect every limb and organ of the person's body to Hashem. The same thing with the 365 negative commandments. When a person doesn't sin, what they're basically doing is they're not allowing their blood to become tainted. If the blood remains pure, then there's nothing separating them from Hashem, because tainted blood separates you from Hashem. If it's not tainted blood, it's pure blood, then you're connected to Hashem. And therefore, when a person keeps all mitzvahs, all 613, they're basically connecting themselves to Hashem by connecting all their limbs in a positive way to Hashem, and they're not allowing any impurities to come into the blood system. So he says when a person does that, and they don't sin, that the blood should not get the nourishment through his Aveda that comes from Shoshkim Satmeis, that the 365 negative mitzvahs come from, and the branches which are rabbinic, and if they do get tainted blood, so to speak, then the godly soul is not able to go up to Hashem if it became impure with one of the impurities of the complete level of evil. You can't go up to holiness if your blood is impure. It doesn't work. So if your blood gets its nourishment now from total evil cannot be elevated until Mashiach comes, or a very lofty level of tshuva, like Dr. Rebbe said earlier in Tanya. And he says, it cannot be elevated in nitma betumis sholosh al klipas atmeis, with the three impure complete levels of evil. She'en lo amaliyah la'ilim, that can never be elevated. Ki yim bitul v'havara legamri. Evil has to be eradicated. It cannot be elevated. Meaning like this. Neutral evil, klipas nega, permissible items, could be elevated. Forbidden items can never be elevated, no matter what you do with them. The only way they can become refined is by destroying them, eradicating them, and removing them. You cannot elevate evil. For instance, if you have a chazer, a pig, which is sholoshkim satmeis, which is forbidden to eat, and a Jew will take a piece of chazer and make a brach on the pig with great kavana, and they'll take the power of the pig that they ate, and they'll learn, and they'll daven, and they'll do mitzvahs with it, the pig stayed a pig and never became elevated. Because complete level of evil, things that the Torah forbids, is not feasible to become elevated. They have to be pushed away, eradicated. And that's why the Torah says, don't eat it, don't say it, don't think it, don't do it. Because by doing it, you're strengthening it. The Torah says this can't be elevated. If it can't be elevated, you're not allowed to eat it. And that's the Hasidic approach to kashrus, by the way, or any Aveda. The fact that the Torah says don't eat it, non-kosher food or whatever it is, why does the Torah say don't eat it? What does the Torah care if you eat it? The whole purpose of a person being in the world is to elevate the world to Kedusha. That Mashiach comes, the world will be a vessel for it. certain things Hashem said, you can't elevate it. And if you can't, that's the chicken and the egg. Because you can't elevate it, that's why it's forbidden. It's not forbidden. It's not you can't elevate it because it's forbidden. It's the reverse. Because this object cannot be elevated, Hashem says you can't eat it. You can't use it. You can't do it. Because even if you do, you're still not going to elevate it. That's what happens when a person doesn't sin. When a person sins, their blood becomes tainted, and then they have impurities with them. Washing Nagavas is not going to be enough. You're not going to be elevated and completely until Mashiach comes, or a level of tshuva. And then it's only bit of avara lagam, and he has to be nullified completely. There's an interesting point that I haven't seen too much in Chassidus, but I've spoken to people about it. And that is, even in forbidden items, we have also a difference. For instance, pig is not allowed to be eaten, but you could benefit from it. Certain foods are forbidden not only to eat, but you can't elevate it either. You can't benefit from it. What? Chametz and Pesach, meat and milk together, the first 3 years that of a tree's fruit, arla.
What do you mean by pig benefit? Like pig leather? Yeah.
You could use pig leather.
You carry a pig leather purse?
Mm-hmm. You could wear a pig skin belt. See, it's a good thing. Do you play football?
I do.
Yeah, what's a football called?
Pigskin.
Why?
It used to be
made out of pig skin. Right? That means you could benefit from pig.
What about brushes that are made out of boar hair?
You could use all of them. You just can't eat a pig. Now, obviously, what's interesting is, you can't elevate a pig by eating it. But by benefiting from a pig, that benefit you could elevate to Kedusha. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a ridiculous example. What happens if you have a bunch of kids and you're trying to bring them closer to Yiddishkeit? Can't just sit and learn with them. You have to play with them. Okay? So you take a football and you play ball with them, and through this you create a relationship with the kids. Okay? That pigskin is becoming elevated to Kedusha because it's utilized for the benefit of serving Hashem. Right? Or any leather, pig leather garment that you use for the sake of serving Hashem, okay, then it's elevated. You can't elevate it by eating it. But meat and milk together, which is not only forbidden to eat, you can't benefit from it. That means, why is that forbidden to benefit and a pig isn't? Because whatever it is in Hasid terminology, one is the klipa, the evil, permeating the essence of it to the extent that you can't even benefit from it. And other times the evil penetrates not to the core, only as far as eating goes. Which is a very interesting concept. You can elevate certain things which are forbidden to eat, you can elevate it through benefit. Certain things are so evil, you can't even elevate it by benefiting from it. So even that you have differentiations, even in, so to speak, Sholosh keeps that Tumeis Legamini, even totally about how it works.
During the war, someone had
to eat
shrimp. Can they elevate that?
Do they make a bracha on it?
Don't they?
They do. Can they elevate it or not?
You have to make a bracha if you eat something that is forbidden?
If you're allowed to eat it.
No, she said in
wartime. Wartime when they had no food. And the halacha is like this. And it's an interesting discussion. It's not off topic, by the way.
I know. That's why I asked.
On something forbidden, you're not allowed to make a bracha. I recently had that shaila. Somebody wanted enough to make a bracha on treifa food. They don't keep kosher, but they wanted enough to make a bracha. You're not allowed to make a bracha on treifa food. By the way, if you steal a snack from your friend without permission, you don't make a bracha on a stolen food. You also don't make a bracha. Unless you get their permission to steal, then you could. But you don't make a bracha on stolen food. The Gemara says, Ubeitzeya beirach ni etz Hashem. The Gemara even quotes a pasuk. Ain the mavarech al menai. It's not only you're not blessing Hashem, it's like cursing Hashem. You say, hey, you see what I did? I'm eating treif. Thank you, God, for giving me the treif that Hashem says don't eat. But in cases where a person is allowed to eat it, for instance, if he eat on Yom Kippur, somebody who's ill and is allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, they have to make a bracha on the food. They have to wash, they have to bench, they have to do all the things. They make a bracha. If somebody is in a situation, wartime, there's nothing to eat, and Torah allows them to eat the food, they make a bracha on it. That's the halacha. But in the Gemara, in the Poskim, this proves both ways in the Gemara. When the Torah forbids, and we'll understand it from the halachic aspect, then we'll understand better according to Chassidus. Let's say in a situation where you're allowed to eat pig. Okay? Does that mean that the pig became kosher? Or does it mean the pig stays treif? The Torah says eat it anyway. There's two ways of looking at it. What's called in yeshiva language, or the Alter Rebbe alludes to it in Tanya also, tchuya or hutra. Hutra means it became permissible. Tchuya means, the Torah says, now the law of treif doesn't apply. But the object still remains treif. Correct? So the difference is, both times, because you're benefiting with permission, you make a bracha, because anytime you benefit with permission, you make a bracha. The question is, though, does a person really, in a refined way, do they need to do tshuva for what they ate? A guy was allowed to eat pig, they ate the pig, they made a bracha, okay? Now the question is, bottom line, later on in life, do they need to do something about it or not? If the Torah permitted it, not pushed away, if the Torah permitted it, it became kosher. Then why do you have to do tshuva? It's kosher. If you say it stays treif, but the Torah says you're allowed to eat it, not you're allowed, that means this, right now this sin doesn't apply, then the bottom line is you do have treif in your system. Understand? So that is two ways of looking at it, based both on halacha and according to chassidus. But it's nothing to do with a bracha. A bracha you make on it because you're benefiting in a way that you're allowed to do it. But the question is, do you have evil in your system or not? First, it's the same thing you find. There's a din shulchan aruch that Rebbe brings it down in Hilchos Shabbos. That, you know, kids are not responsible for their actions officially. Yet it's brought down in shulchan aruch that when a kid becomes bar or bat mitzvah, it's proper for them to do tshuva for all the sins they did as kids. Either not obligated in it, but any way you look at it, they still have something wrong in them. Okay?
If the treat with permission, does that thing become elevated at that time?
That's a question, but that's the answer. If it's hutra, if the Torah permits it, then it becomes elevated. So if it's tchuy, I don't know if it becomes elevated. I don't know.
Can never be elevated.
If the Torah says now it's not shalosh kibbutz hatameis anymore. Let me give you an example. A loaf of bread is what? Klipas noga. Can you elevate it?
Yes.
Okay. What happens now in Pesach? What happens to this bread? What happens to the bread in Pesach? You allowed to eat it?
No.
So what happens to it now? It becomes shalosh kibbutz hatameis. What happens after Pesach when you can eat the bread again? What happens? It comes back to klipas noga. Right?
So
that means Hashem, well, God could do whatever he wants. He's the boss.
Uh-huh.
Hashem could, so, in other words, chazer by nature could be shalosh kibbutz hatameis. It could be total evil. Hashem could say, based on your situation, right now it's not shalosh kibbutz hatameis anymore. If that's the case, then it becomes elevated. If you're saying the other way, that Hashem says, listen, it's treif, it's forbidden, but I'm telling you, you could do something forbidden. I don't know if the food becomes elevated. Maybe not.
You know, when you read these stories of certain people, they're so high that even when they're on death course, they wouldn't eat the treif meat or they wouldn't eat the chametz on Pesach. Are they allowed to do that?
It's machleik between the Rambam and the Ravid. Did that help you?
Sure.
If the Rambam discusses this in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, and there's a lot discussed about this in the Rishonim. For three sins, what? Yeah, for three sins, you have to give up your life. Okay? If somebody comes to you, God forbid, with a gun, and says, eat chazer, or else I'll kill you. What does Halacha say?
No.
Don't get killed and eat the chazer, right? Desecrate Shabbos, or else I'll kill you. What's the Halacha? You desecrate Shabbos, you don't get killed. What happens if a guy says, you know what? I'm not eating the chazer, and he got killed. Is that suicide or not? Or are they holy?
Different opinions.
Yeah, very good. As everything else in Judaism. Different opinions.
Okay.
The Rambam writes that you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to give up. You're not allowed to be more... There's another interesting shaila also along the same lines. Meat falls into milk. Right? If it's more than 1/60, it's nullified and it's kosher. Right? If a drop of milk falls into your big chicken soup, Halacha says it's nullified, you're allowed to eat it. If it's 60 times the amount, right? What happens if somebody says, you know what? I'm not eating it anyway. And I'm going to throw it out. Did they just commit a sin of wasting food? Torah says you're allowed to eat it. Torah says sin. If it's not bottled b'shishim, you can. No, so I'm saying, if it's bottled, then you could. If not, not. Okay, but one sec. What's the question over there? The Torah says, give up your sin and don't give up your life. Torah says it's kosher. Okay, well, there's two opinions in Halacha. If you're allowed to throw out the food, even though Torah says it's kosher. Is it called wasting? You just can't take a pot of chicken soup and throw it out. Right? You're wasting your food. You're not allowed to. It's a negative commandment. But if somebody does it because, not because they want to waste the food, they just want to be too strict and not eat the food. So many opinions say it's not called wasting food. Halacha says, eat the pig and don't give up your life. Okay? So if you come to Besdin, you come to rabbinic court and say, ask a shaila. They tell the guy holding the gun, wait a second. You go out to ask a shaila, call the rav and say, listen, a guy has a gun to my head. He says, either eat the pig or else I'll kill you. What's the rav going to tell him to do? For sure, eat the pig. What happens if he doesn't? You know, and the guy... So, according to many opinions, he's a holy person. He's a Kaddish.
Yes, also depends with Gzeira,
at the time of Shmad. It's all different situations. I'm not talking
about Gzeira of Shmad. Yeah.
In the time of Gzeira of Shmad, even Akis of the Messiah, even the Shulis. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about now. You're right. That's a different story. What?
Yeah, I read a story that said once a mother was so frustrated that she lost her child during the war that she came to the shul and started crying till she died. So the rabbi of the town said, well, look what happened to this mother, what a great loss. But what happened here is that it wasn't the loss of the child, I mean, it's a great pain, but also her faith, her emuna was so strong that she passed away. But if she would be alive and said, because of my son, I'm going to do these mitzvahs and I'm going to do more kedusha, it would be more elevated and holy. But she took it like so hard that she passed
because away. She didn't do things rationally at that time. That's a whole another issue. Even Masadis, the whole Shalach question.
Oh, yes,